Gospel, chapter number 15. John's Gospel, chapter number 15. Appreciate the liberty preaching this morning. I sure am glad I heard about the King. I'm glad I left Him in a different way than when I first went to Him. Glad He's given me new direction, new desire, and sure has loaded me with benefits, and I bless His name tonight. John 15, verse number 1, Jesus said, I am. He could have quit writing right there, because He's everything. He said, I want you to know one great principle of who I am, what I am. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Thank you for standing tonight. I'd like to teach a few minutes this evening on this thought found in verse number 4. Abide in me. I want to preach on abiding in Christ tonight. Abiding in Christ. The word abide simply means this: to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. Now, Jesus made it very clear that He's the true vine, and His Father, who's God, is the husbandman, or He's the vineyard overseer. He says this, He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. He sees about the vineyard. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. They didn't spray insecticides then, but they would take the cleansing of the water and they would wash the vine. Therefore, He said that when you would bring forth fruit, He said that He would purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. By the cleansing of the water of the Word tonight, it sure does keep us in shape to bear fruit. Now, I want to say this of abiding in Christ. How do we abide in Christ? Good question. However, the Bible holds all the answers to life's questions tonight. Matter of fact, any question you'll ever have, it'll be in the Bible, for God knows everything. And I can say this, if you never do find an answer to your question, God still holds the answer to your question tonight. But how do we abide in Christ? I want to give just these basic Bible principles on how to abide in Christ. First of all, it has to do with reading. Reading. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 verse number 16. All Scripture, underline that all, is given by inspiration of God. God gave us the Bible to instruct us and to help us. He said it's profitable for doctrine. It does matter what we believe and why we believe it. For reproof, we need that in our lives to stand against us. For correction, to show up against us of where that we err and do wrong. But also for instruction in righteousness. How we need to be instructed in right things. Now, it doesn't take you and I long by ourselves to go to doing wrong. That's why we need to be instructed right. Now, this thing of abiding in Christ has to do with the reading. Look in Romans 15 and verse number 4. Romans 15 and verse number 4. Paul's writing, and he said something specifically. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and, watch this, underline it, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience, aren't you glad that He's a God of patience? And consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, Paul was having a problem here at this church of the Romans that they had a particular group that they were privy to, the Gentiles and the Jews. And what Paul is writing to them, he said, it ought not be any respecter of persons. And he says that I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. See, we were Gentile dogs. We were outcast. We had no hope but God, according to His abundant mercy, died for us also, that we may have eternal life. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with these people. Now look at verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him. That Bible word simply means to commend or applaud Him, all ye people. In Psalms 119, 105, talking about abiding in Christ, we must read. In Psalms 119 and 105, I love to encourage you to read your Bible daily. You don't have to read 10 chapters a day, but we ought to get in the Word of God every day. And look what the psalmist David had to say in 119 and verse number 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now, our Bible has been given to us for a heritage. What a great heritage we have by the Word of God. You're so blessed that you have the Bible, that not only can you read in your Bible, but you can hand your Bible down to your loved ones and your friends. How we need the Word of God, how we need to get in the Word of God in order to abide in Christ. The psalmist David said that it lights up my dark path. Life gets dark, but the Word of God brings light. And oh, how we need to be in reading the Word of God. Preacher, how do I abide in Christ that I would bring forth fruit? Well, not only does it have to do with reading, but it has to do with requesting. In Philippians 4 and verse number 6, Philippians 4 and verse number 6. There the Bible says this, be careful or worried for nothing. Isn't that an amazing verse? But and you know, this is what's amazing to me. We could get there in our life because the Bible instructs us to get there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. And watch this, not only keep your heart, but your mind. Through Christ Jesus. In order to abide in Christ, we must do some requesting. Look in James 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, remember I preached this morning on that of wisdom. It simply means this. Wisdom teaches one how to apply knowledge. And he says that if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Ephesians 6 and 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. What the Bible says about that of requesting. Ephesians 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer. Have you prayed today? Did you pray yesterday? And supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word supplication, you know what that means? A specific request. In order for us to abide in Christ, we must not only read, but we must learn to request. Jesus said you have not because you ask not. Isn't that an amazing principle? It amazes me what my children and grandchildren have acquired from me by simply asking. I believe God wants His children to ask Him, to let Him in on our living and our life. You know, even this day and hour, not many people want God in on their dying, much less on their living. But we need God in on both our living and our dying. So in order for us to abide in Christ, we must read and we must request. Do you remember Jesus talked about if you would abide in Him, that you would bring forth fruit? Some would bring forth more fruit. What fruit is He talking about? I've heard preachers talking about the souls of men. But I want to say something. That's God's doings. God's responsibility. We're to share the gospel. As Christians, we're all to share the gospel. It's God's business who gets saved and who don't get saved. But I can tell you this, God died for every one of them. And every one of us, we're to share the gospel. So therefore, how can I have that as fruit? I realize when we stand at the judgment seat of God that there is no doubt that there are a reward that we can receive. But you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But I want to say this about fruit bearing tonight. The Bible is very clear of what He's talking about in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 22. I want you to look at this. Jesus said, if you would abide in me, you would have fruit. You ever wondered how some folks, they claim to be saved but have no fruit? Well, let me tell you, we can't be their judge. They could have come to Christ just as honest as me and you have. But friend, when you quit abiding, there is no fruit in our life. And so here, Paul is teaching the church of Galatia this principle. He said in Galatia 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And faith. Now, I ask you a question. If you don't have these fruits in your life, are you reading? Are you requesting? I think a lot of times we just go through a formal church day. Well, it's my obligation to go to church. And it is an obligation. But it's also a responsibility. But it's thrilling to come to the house of God, to get around the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God. But our problem is a lot of times we've not been abiding in Christ, and the things of the Spirit don't mean anything to us. Sin brings separation. And when we play with sin all week in our lives, no wonder we're cold and carnal to the things of God. We must abide in Christ. And therefore, He said that there would be meekness, there would be temperance. Against such there is no law. Now look what He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you running low on love? Try reading your Bible this week. Try talking to God this week. What about joy? You know, I've noticed this. Even in bad circumstances, I can have joy. The joy that only Jesus brings. And the fruit of the Spirit brings that joy into our heart. Look what it says. Peace. And then, are you running low on long-suffering? That's there too. It lets us know if we could abide more, we would have more long-suffering about us. Gentleness. So quick to judge everything, condemn everything and everybody. But I'm going to tell you, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there will be some gentleness in your life. Gentleness. And then look at that next word. Goodness. I'll tell you what, always, faith, meekness, and temper. Abiding in Christ. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I don't care if you're in Bowdoin or if you're in North Carolina. Nothing means nothing. You can do nothing without Jesus. Now, in order for us to abide, we must read. We must request. But thirdly, we must rely. We must rely on God. Are you relying on Him? Are you relying on your good efforts? Are you relying upon your gifts? Upon your good traits? Are you really relying upon God? God wants us to rely upon Him. I can tell you, church after church after church, they're not concerned about missions and giving and helping. They want to have such a reservoir for hard times, and I think that we need to practice good stewardship. Have some practicality about us, but we've also got to work in the operation of faith. Faith. God never intended His church to be a reservoir, but a channel. And therefore we must rely upon Him day after day and week after week to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. It's not wrong to save and to have something. It's not what I'm preaching about tonight. But we must learn to rely upon Him. God will bring needs. When we move by faith, God will meet them needs. I'm glad we've got a God we can rely on tonight. Now, Proverbs 3, verse number 5 in your Bible. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. Very powerful verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Is there anything else in there that you can't trust Him? Get it out. Let your whole heart trust Him. Trust Him in everything you've got. Trust Him with your children. Trust Him with your job. Trust Him with your dreams. Trust the Lord. Trust. And lean not to thine own understanding. There's some things, men, you will never figure out. Especially about people and us. You hard to figure out. Hey, sometimes I come in this church, I'll shout and the chandelier's down. Sometimes you're looking like you're fixing to take a boat on something. You got to trust the Lord with everything. Therefore, you've got to realize that God don't want us to lean on our own understanding. Verse 6, underline it. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And watch. Watch. It'll work. I know it'll work. He showed me it'll work. And He shall direct thy paths. This amazing thing. Brother David Phillips called me this week. I don't care if it is on the radio. Probably one of the greatest pastors I've ever met. God been dealing with him for a while to move from Maryland. Had a good solid Bible church. He is praying. Knew God was up to something. The Spirit of God, when he was praying, said, won't you go south? That ain't a lot of instructions. So he keeps praying about this, and he knows this is what he's supposed to do. So this man, all of a sudden, Brother Dana Williams appears in his life. Man said, me and my family, my children are grown, we're supposed to come south, I'm just going to mind God. Talk about directing your paths. Trust in the Lord. Brother Dana said, well, we've got a basement, it's empty, you're welcome to move in it. He sold everything he got in Maryland, he's moved in it. He talked to Brother David the other week. He said, do you know I'm just pastor within a few miles of there? He said, great, good place to go to church. He said, why'd you say all that? He's not leaning to his own understanding. It may be in your business. may be in your job. It may be in something that you have a big decision to do. But what we better realize, honey, He knows when the red light's going to change out yonder. And we better listen to Him and we better mind Him, because His way's always the best way. You said, "Preacher, why'd you say that?" Well, I hadn't thought of it till now, so I wanted to say it. But I can tell you one thing, He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. Look with all thine heart. Our problem is we've got way too much of us in there. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He should direct the paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Underline this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom He delighteth. You know, them young'uns across the fence from my house when I was raising children, I never did go over there and correct them. It wasn't my place. But I tell you who I did correct. I corrected those that were mine. And God will correct His. Happy is the man that findeth the wisdom. Oh, how we need wisdom of how to apply knowledge. You can be the sharpest pencil in the box, but if you don't have wisdom to apply it, it's no good for you. Wisdom. We need wisdom. Many times I pray in my altar, God, I need wisdom. I need direction. God, I have Bible knowledge, but I need to know how to apply Bible knowledge. I'm in one of the biggest trials in my life right now. I need wisdom. I need to know how to apply knowledge. Sometimes you just don't have all the answers for somebody you want to give answers to. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth under... Let me tell you something now. As your preacher, as your man of God, this Bible works. Rely. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Hebrews 13. Verse number 5. Talking about abiding in Christ. I'm sure glad I'm saved tonight. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Talking about relying now. Be content. Underline that. With such things as you have. And listen. There's nothing wrong with having dreams. There's nothing wrong for trying to do better for you and your family. But what we got to realize is what God has already given us and thank Him for them. Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee. What a word. Nor forsake thee. God's talking to somebody right there tonight. You know what He said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have you ever felt like you're forsaken? Could it be because we don't read the Word of God enough to find out that God will never forsake us? The last thing the devil wants you to do is pick your Bible up. Last thing the devil wants you to do is get in an altar and pray. He says this so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Boldly say. He don't want a mealy-mouthed Christian. He wants somebody to stand up and say, God will never leave me nor forsake me. Boldly say. The Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And this life will try you sometime and make you run on the edge of fear. I heard a preacher one time got on me real heavy because something It scared me. Well, he just ain't never wore these 12s. They some things in life come by and spook you, friend. But you remember this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And can I say this tonight as your preacher? If He be for you, who could be against you? He's bigger than everybody. Abiding in Christ. Read, request, rely. I want to say Psalms 119. Remember. Psalms 119. You know, a lot of times we don't remember, do we? Sometimes it does us good for folks to get us to remember some things. Psalms 119, verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Underline this. And I will not forget thy word. This word's so important. Isn't it amazing the way the devil's taking it out of churches? This church is built on the God of this Bible. This church will lock its doors when it throws this Bible away. Your life will crumble when you throw this Bible out of it. That's what's wrong with America this evening. No Bible in government. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Somebody got up on CNN and say, this is what we just start doing. It'd work. Remember. Then Hebrews 13:15. Remember this. Rejoice. Well, that would do us good many days. Rejoice. Well, preacher, how can I rejoice with what I'm going through? Let's see what the Bible says. Hebrews 13:15. Talking about abiding in Christ. Rejoice. Rejoice. Hebrews 13, verse number 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer, look here, the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's dawned on you, but sometimes sacrifice is hard. It's a sacrifice of a lot of things I have to do in a Christian life. And many times you got to sacrifice your praise. In other words, it's hard, but if you get it out, it sure does help you. Thank you, Lord. How good. It don't take you long to look down the road to see how good God's been to us. We've got families here, children with disabilities. You think you having it tough? We got families here, got mom and daddy struggling. You think you got it tough? We got church members here who's lost a spouse. We got it tough? He wouldn't have put the sacrifice in there. Sometimes it wasn't hard. But he said, I want you to remember, if you're going to abide in me, you learn to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. How good you've been to me. Thank you how good that you are. Then he said this. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Watch. But to do good and to communicate or to give, forget not. For with such sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of being good, and the sacrifice of giving, look what it says, God is well pleased. There'll be things in your life come by and it'll be hard to thank God.
But he said, if you'd make the sacrifice of praise, he'd be well pleased.
If you're waiting for everything to be just right for you praise him, you'll never get to praise him. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. God's been good to us. That crowd I was headed with, I wasn't the most likely to be where I am tonight. You're talking about a shock at a school reunion if I ever make one. A preacher. You as a thug. But God saved me. I met the King. Because somebody told me about him. And I left there different than how he found me. Well, glory. Preacher, abide in Christ. Read, request, rely. Remember. Remember the Word of God. Rejoice. Lastly, Psalms 119:97. Reflect. Think upon what God has done for you. God don't love you because of who you are. God loves you because of who He is. God is love. We ought to reflect. Psalms 119. Verse number 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all of the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understood more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I've not departed from thy judgments. Thou hast taught me how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. A little Sailor Reese over at the house of evening. Some folks here give me some honey. A little honey bear is getting low and I poured in it and Sailor Reese come in. Macy won't like this. I poured that honey on my thumb, just stuck it out to her. That baby was a lapping that honey up. She said, Daddy, what are you doing? I said, giving her honey. You know, it does us good to reflect on how good, just how sweet He really is. Look where He found you and what He's done for you and done to you and doing for you. God is so good. You know what? I'm so thrilled. I'm really thrilled about this. I hate the situation, but this is what I'm thrilled about. If God gives me health, let me preach here 20 more years. I want to say this tonight. We're going to have some of the sweetest times. Because this world's going to get so bad and so ugly. When we come out of that old world and come into God's sanctuary, we're going to experience some of the greatest times of our life. And guess what? We're going to experience it together. We're going to heaven together because of God's Son. When we see Him, we're going to cry, worthy is the Lamb. I want to abide in Christ tonight. How I need fruit in my life. Thank you for being here this evening.